Hello and welcome back to Keeping Up with Beaners podcast. With me and Max today, we've got a new guest. Well, we say new guest of this series. We've got Sean Cunningham with us, who did join us last season. My main question coming in, Sean, obviously last time you came on, you were on the back of a meeting with a football icon. Have you met any footballers recently?
I've met a football icon, but I did meet a paddle icon. And his name... God. And I tell you what, he was an icon.
So yeah, after we had a little chat the other week, I put the clip on about paddle. Sean was straight on going, Gwed, if he's ever playing, I'm up for it. But I didn't realise he was a semi-pro down in London. And honestly, I've never just been in a hole as much as I was when I was facing the serves. I hated it. Like, I just hated every second of it. So my aim now is keep playing and just practicing serving, because I want to be that good. I want people to look at me and go, oh, yeah, he's sick him. But you know what? I've played twice.
Yeah, so. But it's only you who say that, because if I play down here, I get my ass handed to me every single week. It's just levels, isn't it? I'm one of the people who is... I've literally went to Decathlon and bought tennis clothing and I bought £140 paddle. It's just, and I'm still absolutely shit at it. I'm pretending that's going to make me somehow.
Yeah. I mean, that was my thing, wasn't it? I was blaming my racket because it was all cracked and then swapped it and I no better. So
is paddle the same as pickleball where like you keep your serve until you lose it?
No. It's like tennis. It's like tennis scoring. Same
rules.
Yeah.
I think I was playing tennis for part of it on Sunday. I think I got mixed up. But yeah, that's the aim. We're on a mission now to get playing a bit more.
Different people. That's what helped me, is playing different people. Because I played with my mates and my brothers loads and just they didn't get any better. And then I played randomers down in London. And it's not just that you're seeing how they play compared to us. It's that you really want to win when you're against strangers. Because I don't know about you, but I'm like uber competitive. Because it was too strange going up against. When you're playing with your mates, obviously you're just having a bit of a laugh and you're lobbing them and all that type of stuff. But playing randomers, I got a bit carried away. Hence the £140.
was that off the back of a pasting? Was it? And you're like,
We played 2 days in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the first one, so on that Playtomic app, you get like ratings based on how you are and who you've played against. So we played against this person who was rated like a 2, which is like normal, like our level. And then turns out it was his first game after coming over from Oman, and he was a pro in Oman. And oh my, honestly, I'm a big guy, and he was chasing me around that court. Honestly, I was dripping wet at the end of it. So I just thought, well, it must be the racket. It can't be that he's a pro. It's got to be my racket that's making me shit. That didn't work.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously, just with like searching paddle once, my whole algorithm on every social media is paddle.
Yeah.
But it's all these pros and I'm just like, it's like me when I was like Ronaldo playing footy. I'm just like, God, I am so far away from that.
Yeah, I feel like that when I watch one.
When you watch it, sorry?
That jumped. I'm sure that was hilarious, but that jumped. Right, the key word.
I feel like that when I watch porn.
Right, we'll move over to Max then with your weekly, what is it, Roger?
Roger Williams University.
Roger
Sean.
Williams University, go on, how are you getting on?
Still unbeaten. Wednesday we won 5-0. Very good game. And then we absolutely shit the bed on Saturday. We drew 1-1. Give up a last minute goal. But we were terrible. I swear the kids were out all the night before drinking. Because they were just like shambles. And it's meant to be like, I get they're in college or whatever, and obviously that's gonna happen and stuff, but they're also there to play, you know what I mean? Like, that's why they're at the school.
So these kids on like scholarships, like there to play football, are they?
Yeah. At this level is slightly different. So at Division One, you do get basically kids that get like free rides, whatever. So like, I mean, our school is like maybe $60,000 to go to, $50,000, which is a lot of money. They don't really get scholarships, but they get accepted to the school to play. So that's how they get in. But at Division One, obviously in Division Two, you'll have kids that will just be there on free rides. So it's like a professional environment. But then they do go out on a Friday night. Can't help but the 18, 19, 20, whatever.
It's only what we did, Max.
Exactly. But also, I was at Liverpool Hope University. And I had like a 36% attendance rate in my first year. So it's a little bit different. Yeah, we drew 1-1. We were awful, but still undefeated.
Right, let's make a start then with the real footy, not the Roger Williams University. I'm playing real footy, but let's get on with the Premier League. So, obviously, the main fixture, the main news from the weekend is the Manchester derby. It was obviously a 3-0 pummeling for City against United, and like I've seen all over YouTube and Gary Neville and Roy Keane and everyone just like the world ended. So my main question is, do you think that result tells the full story in terms of, does that show how good City really are, or does that show how bad United are, or is it just one of those results? What are your thoughts?
I think it was, yeah. I don't think it shows how good City are, how bad United are. I just think it shows how much of a sorry state football's in at the minute. I don't want to get too depressing, but as you know, I'm a Southport ultra now. Just because the way the Premier League is, I don't know if everyone feels the same, but I know a lot of my mates feel the same. I just feel disillusioned completely with Premier League football. You've got two teams that look like they just don't want to lose the game. I know City were clinical, but they weren't very good. I feel like I've not enjoyed a Pep team for a long time. It just feels like it's all anti-football. To be honest, I didn't even watch the whole game. I got through 60 minutes. I did notice at the end of the game that there wasn't a single yellow card, and I think it says a lot for the game of footy. Imagine go back 15, 20 years and you've got a Manchester derby without a bad tackle, without someone trying to set the tone. It's just, just disillusioned with Premier League football. You go to the Southport game and there's tackles flying about and the players are playing for a wage, playing for a living, and it's just, there's no VAR and that type of thing. I just think it was a bad advert for the Premier League, really.
Sean, can you explain like the Southport thing? Because I know I don't really know why you're now an ultra. Because I'm not there, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose it just sounds like I've just picked the name out the app, don't I? no, me older brother, David, he's now co-owner at Southport. Oh. He bought them at the end of last season when they were about to go bust. Basically saved them from oblivion, so anything from now on is all bonus. He hired Neil Danz at the start of the season, which is a bit of a big name, obviously been around football a lot, played in the Premier League. So they haven't started too well, but it's just, I fell in love with it. I mean, obviously I'm going through with my brother owning it, having such an emotional investment in it. But even just going the game, I take the bit, I've got a 3-year-old now, and I take her down, and she just plays around with the other kids in there, and just, like, she was sitting on the stairs making loom bands watching the game at the weekend. It's just a different the Premier League. Obviously, I've still got a season ticket for Everton, but I fell hook, line, and sinker for Southport. Like, just, I'm not even, obviously, with my brother owning the club, I think I'm going to, but I fell in love with the league as well, like the football that they play. It's a better standard than I thought it was. Obviously, it's only the league below the Conference or the National League, and some of them are part-time teams, including Southport. But it's just proper footy. Obviously, we've all played Sunday, Saturday league, and it's like that, but well, 1,000 times better than we were. But it's there's no, as I said, there's no VAR, there's no diving. There was some diving at the weekend, but it just feels like football slipped back the way I think it should be. That compared to the Manchester derby is a bit of a tough watch, I think, for the Premier League at the minute.
Absolutely.
Sorry, just going back on that. Obviously, like a couple of years ago when I used to go and watch Marine, the thing I loved about it was like the connection the players had with the fans and like Marine, like I imagine Southport is, as you say, with your little one. There's loads of kids in the ground and they idolised those Marine players as if they were Phil Foden and Haaland. Like, end of the game, they're running over trying to get pictures, and it's one of them where like these players actually do it. They'll come in the bar after and have a drink with you, and it's like it kind of makes that a bit more real for those kids. Do you know what I mean? Rather than
it bridges the gap. Because Poppy, my 3-year-old, I wouldn't dream of taking her to an Everton game now. She'd be overawed by it all. She'd probably be crying in the stands. Whereas this is like a different thing. Like it's everyone's there with the families. So I think just organically the kids are going to be drawn towards the players because they're there in a safe situation. So they're going to grow up with them, watching them. Obviously, it's a bit different for me because obviously I've only been to 5 or 6 games since they've invested in them. But you see kids from Southport all over that. They've all got Southport shirts on. They're all playing footy behind the stands. And it's not really so much about the game. It's about the community side of it all.
Yeah.
That's what I fell in love with, really. They've built like a marquee that everyone, all the fans go to before the game. And they stay after the game. And they watch the bigger games on the TV when the games are finished and stuff like that. And it's just a completely different... Like, I was shocked with how different it was. It's like a day out with the family rather than a footy match. I mean, obviously, they're still massively invested in the game. But it's just something you can go with your whole family, which also means I don't feel guilty about leaving her at home when I go to watch.
What's the mood like within the family? Obviously, none of us have ever had a family member as heavily involved in footy. What's it like there, your lot, if you get beat?
It's a bit strange because it's like, obviously, you'd be picturing like Premier League games where the fans are going nuts, and they do have a stand that is quite rowdy called the Jack R stand, but it's a bit different with Ardy because he said it himself in his opening press conference, he's not like a Russian oligarch. He's not going to come and rile them through the leagues like a Wrexham or something like that. He was basically there to save them and to see if he could get them back on the feet again. So I think the fans appreciate it. So even though the start of the season wasn't great, they've never had an off wear with him. He stays after the match in the marquee and he has a pint with them. And at the away game last week, I think there was like 120 fans that came away, bought them all a pint and that type of stuff. So I think they're just appreciative more than anything. He sits in, like we don't go in the box in the top. We just sit in the stands. So loads of them come over and ask them like what's going on, and it's not as toxic as the Premier League is, really. But I think if it was a different scenario, say it was the old owners of Southport and they were stood in the stands with the family, that might be a bit different. But due to the predicament they were in, they were literally days away from closing the doors. I think it would be pretty bad for them to get a bit angry with Dave. Like.
So what is Dave's long-term plan with being the owner?
Well, he's not like a Russian oligarch, so he knows he's not going to take it to the Football League like a Wrexham or someone has done. He said that in his press conference as well. He's honest about that. I think he's just seen it as a challenge, to be honest. That's what he told me anyway. That he's seen a club like all these clubs that have gone bust, like Bury and all that. You see a club in Mersey that he could feasibly save. I think it's just a challenge, really. So he's seen it, see if he can stabilise it. They've got a good fan base. They get over 1,000 every game, which is similar to Marine do as well. So I think it's just it's a challenge. He's obviously done well in business and the property side of it. So we thought he could just stabilise it because it was literally minutes away from closing its doors. I think he's just going to stabilise it, try and get the squad in a good place, trying to get them cemented in this division. If they get promoted, great. If they don't, it's the same situation, really. Get them stabilised and then try and pass it on to someone who can take it on to like bigger and better things. But it's easier said than done. There's not a queue of people looking to buy a football club, is there? So it wouldn't surprise me if he was around there for longer. He's certainly not in a rush to get rid of anything like that. I think he just wants to just make a difference, really.
That's what I was going to say, though. There isn't a queue of people to buy clubs. I'm always shocked about like a club in a local area is about to go bust and there's no one who steps up. Especially someone like Bury. Like, I know that Class 92 is involved in Salford and that, but like Paul Scholes is from Bury. and they're all from that area, and nobody steps up to just like, yeah, and sometimes they only need like 100k, 200k, and that's enough to make them go.
But the problem he's got is, and this is Dave's worry about it as well. I mean, he's in a unique situation that he's the one saving the club, but it's such a risk in terms of the stress outlet of it, because although it does sound like such a small amount of money, whereas Southport was next to nothing, it was more just clearing the overwhelming debts that were part of the club. It's that if you take charge of this club and then you make a mistake, you're then the one that's oversaw this club going bust. So yeah. You can imagine people not wanting to take that risk. You'll have people with pitchforks at your door. Do you know what I mean? It's such an emotional business to buy into that must scare people who have a bit of money. It would definitely scare me. I wouldn't have the bollocks to do it. I think that would be the big worry for me, is that imagine your club was going bust and the person who owned it was seemingly sat there watching it happen, when in essence it's probably not like that. They're just trying to invest money to bring the club up, and they've invested badly because they're not very good at what they're doing. So it's I think it's more than just a monetary risk, isn't it? That's my view on it anyway. Seems like a scary prospect to buy.
Yeah, that's a good point. But fair play to him. Yeah, I hope it goes well.
Yeah, is it just before we go on, is it something he's always wanted to do, or is it like just a chance thing that happened? He heard about it and just.
Well, he said to me that who wouldn't want to? Do you know what I mean? We've all grown up playing manager and champ man, and I know it's a bit different because you're not picking the team, but if you've got the means to do it, which he just about has, he felt like saying, well, it's surely any footy fan's dream to try and make a success or something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably something that he'd say was a childhood dream, but it wasn't like an active dream for him. They just fight it down to a Southport game, and I think they got wrapped up in it all, to be honest. But it's great. He's loving it. It's as stressful as it is already. I'm loving it. So I'm hoping it goes well, just so I can take it every week, to be honest. But no, it's a tough one. I wouldn't put myself in his position, but like you said, fair play for him to get forgiven a goal, because like, otherwise it's just another National League North team that doesn't exist anymore. And
yeah,
feel like that it's far too common these days, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, do you know what? It was a nice little segue that away from the Premier League, but we will go back. We're not going to go to the Manchester Derby. We'll just go to another Merseyside team. Yeah.
Please don't.
Not Everton. We're not going to talk about Everton, unfortunately, Sean, but we will talk about Liverpool and their very, very tight win against Burnley. And I saw something before online. It was like when United scrape past Burnley with a last-minute pen, it's the worst thing ever. When Liverpool do it, it's what champions do. So explain that, please, Max.
Liverpool had 82% possession and 27 shots on goal. That's all I've got to say about it, because we absolutely battered them. And whether you score in the first minute or the 95th minute, I don't think it matters. Manchester United didn't batter Burnley. We were all over them, and we got a pen, which was a pen. Like, I don't know what he's doing, Hannibal, maybe, but the amount of chances we had, I think football isn't lucky. I think you get what you deserve, and we deserve to win. Done.
Unfortunately, Liverpool don't get what they deserve, do they? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Max is right, though. The reason it's different to United is because Liverpool make a habit of doing that, don't they? They find ways to win. I feel like, genuinely, they've not played well for 18 months, and they won last year's league, and they'll win this league as well. It doesn't. It seems for Liverpool that it doesn't really matter how they play. They find a way to win, like Max said. Whereas United is the opposite way. The last minute winner is a rarity, really, isn't it? So I think that's the difference.
Well, going back to that as well, though, United 15 years ago, and Alex Ferguson used to do it all the time. Like, they just keep going. That's the biggest thing, is that they keep going no matter what. And that's four games in a row now where we've scored late, late.
That's what I was going to say, though. Is that a Liverpool thing, or is that like I felt Liverpool had a habit of doing this under Klopp as well? Like at a certain point, is that not teams are just aware of it? Whereas, like, imagine a Burnley there. I don't know if that's Liverpool pushing for the win or Burnley almost going, these are still going to score you. And then it almost plays on the mind, doesn't it? And then they do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't be a... Well, no, it can't be a coincidence that it's four games in a row. But then I do think it's... Is it Liverpool or is it the other teams? Or is it a mix? It might be both. But I do think it's psychologically, it's a thing for other teams now, isn't it? Like, we'll see it at Everton at the weekend, because I'm in no doubt in my mind that we'll bottle it. Like, absolutely zero doubt. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if it happens again, and do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I won't go
too far with like, because I am a Blue and I've got to be a little bit bitter. So I won't go too far by Max saying, like, we just keep going and it can't just be luck. Because it is the 94th minute where Hannibal's put it, just for no reason, put his arm up in the air. And that does seem to happen a lot to Liverpool. So it can't just be, oh yeah, it happened because we're persistent. Because it was just a nothing ball into the box, wasn't it? It was a bit like they ran out of ideas and they were handed it to them. So I'm not going to go too far with the whole persistence is key thing. But you are right, like, it does happen far, far too often to just be luck.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well, like, Liverpool are in a very good position now where no matter who they bring off the bench, they're still in a position to go win the game, go score. Like, even Chiesa, who is quite far down the pecking order, is coming on. Rio Engamoa is coming on, looks dangerous. You can bring on Isak soon. Just every player seems to, like, it doesn't change the level. So you're just playing against that level the entire game. Whereas sometimes with other teams, maybe you're bringing people on who just aren't at the level. You're bringing on Tierno, Barry, whatever his name is, rather than Beto. I'm sure the standard drops off a slight bit. But yeah, we deserve to win. It goes from low to just a little bit lower.
Goes from shit.
Yeah, right, again.
What's the score with Isak? When's he going to be playing? No doubt on Saturday.
Probably, I hope. In the press conference afterwards, he got asked about it, and he said that Isak's essentially not had a pre-season because he's been on strike and he's not playing. So, like, he said he's still a while away from even playing. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's not there, unless he's just saying that to throw you off a little bit.
Did you see the problem in his medical?
No, what was that, sorry?
Drop it in here. No, I don't actually do that. It was a photo of him doing his medical, and I've never seen. I was so shocked by it, because when you picture Isak in your head, you picture a quick and strong and powerful runner, and he was genuinely stick thin. He looked like a 12-year-old boy. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I've seen him absolutely body Virgil van Dijk a few times now.
Is that because of lack of pre-season, or is he just built like a child?
Yeah, good point. Could be. He's just been not access to the gym.
Yeah,
really
shocked by it.
Yeah, he's so skinny. But yeah, top of the league, Sean. Top of the league still.
Yeah, but he's built like a Liverpool boy, so he's the real winner.
Where the Tierno Barry is built like a 13-year-old boy. So that is the real quiz. Any other.
See, nobody's built like a boy and plays like a boy. Whereas Isak's built like a boy and plays like an animal. And it's, I'm just trying to find something to make it a bad sign. All right, leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other events from the weekend that you thought was of note? I thought it was a pretty standard weekend, the Premier League footy, to be fair.
No, I don't want to be like an old man moaning, but that Romero disallowed goal. Oh, has anyone seen it?
Yeah.
Inserted in here. Because
he's just broken. Like it.
Yeah. I just don't understand that at all.
Because of this as well, I feel like they're not just relying on VAR. So I feel like they're thinking, oh, that would be spotted as a push on VAR. So I'll give it to not get shown up. But that goal. How can someone watch it on the screen and think that shouldn't be a goal?
What would you? I mean, it's been the question's been asked for months and months and months, but would you get rid of VAR?
Yeah, I would.
I was always a supporter of it, because I always thought when you're at the match, you always go back to like the Thierry Henry against Ireland and all that type of thing. They are massive injustices, but this, And I always thought it would get better, like the referees would get used to it and start being more sensible with it. But it's genuinely got worse. Like there's now more injustice because more people are looking at it and making the same bad decision.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's still there.
I would absolutely keep, obviously, goal line technology is fine. I only had the one mix up like 3 years ago, wherever it was, and then the automated offsides. If you get them two right, I think the rest of the game is fine. And you can accept it. I mean, I think part of the problem is everyone just keeps moaning about it and instead of just saying it's a part of the game. I think that would fix it if you just accepted it. And then if it goes, then you just got to accept the fact that there's also still going to be poor refereeing. But it's not stop-start. You can actually go and celebrate a goal until the automated offside gets you.
And it's all
they're not looking for fouls. Every time there's a goal, they're looking for something that no one in the stadium seen.
No.
And that's the worst thing.
Or the reverse of that. Because I'm like a bad know-it-all idiot. Like, I'm at the game, and I see, like, a centre-half nudge a striker before a goal, and I go, I'm going to be mixed. Don't celebrate. He's pushed him there. That's going to be... That's going to be ruled out. And then it gets given, and I'm like, oh, like, I'm kind of conflicted. Yay. Then I'm like, oh, that's wrong now. You know what I mean? It ruins the game for know-it-alls like me.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the campaign.
Yeah.
If you start it, John, we'll back you. We're back in your way.
They need football for knobheads. We need football too.
Can we go back to the United game for a sec?
Go on.
Would you get rid of Amorim right now?
Personally, no. I can't.
Who would you bring in?
Do you know, have you seen the podcast where you see like Tony Pulis and Dyson that saying, well, if I was in there, I'd do a better job? I genuinely believe them at this point because how long have they gone being that bad? But getting rid of them, I don't know. Honestly, it feels like it's the same no matter who they hire. The club's just rotten from the top down, innit? I don't think it makes a difference, to be honest.
But then I do think there's too much media attention on United. Like, I'm don't get me wrong, he's not doing a good job, but every single Sky program does a deep dive into Man United three times a week. So it's like he can't breathe. And like he probably obviously knew what was going on at United. He wouldn't have known this when he took the job. Like Jack and he can be bothered with that, because I certainly wouldn't. Gary Neville every game, even if it's like the Merseyside derby at the weekend, Neville will be on it talking about Amorim. Constant. It's just like,
I feel like if he didn't have this much media attention, he would have actually changed something already. I feel like it's so intense that he's just sitting there like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, because it always looked like I've been pushed by media, Gary Neville, Keane, or whatever. But he's only won 8 games in 31 games. You get sacked at every other club for that. It reminds me a little bit like Liverpool in 2010, and we had Hodgson, and it just wasn't working, and it was all the turmoil with the owners and stuff like that, and I think the Americans came in afterwards. They just got Kenny Dalglish for 6 months, and then I think he got it for another year. We got to the FA Cup semi-final, the final, after beating Hughes, and we won the Carling Cup.
Yeah.
You just need to get someone in who just like galvanises the fans for a year while you wait for someone, or find somebody.
Have they not done that
job
so often, though?
The thing is, they got Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer in, and they're still competing for the top four and trophies. It's just they've got to have that acceptance as a fan base and a club that we're not going to win leagues until it's right across the board that it changes. Yeah. But we've got to get something back. You can't be 16, 17, 18 as Manchester United. You can't.
Yeah. So, no, but I agree.
Get Roy Keane in.
Their problem is their expectations are way too high. And as you say, like, but their go-to is, let's get, who've they had in the last, like, couple of years? That Giggs has took over for a bit. Carrick's took over for a bit. Solskjaer's took over, obviously, quite a while. It's just like, get rid of a very well-known, well-respected manager, get an ex-player in.
Mm-hmm.
Get a new big name that doesn't necessarily fit the system or the ethos of the team. That doesn't work. Gwed, let's get another legend in, let's throw him in for a bit. There's just, even like with these new owners, when they came in, you thought they might put something in place that's what we want to aim for. And it hasn't come, has it? It's just the same old thing over and over again that it's been for 15 years.
Yeah, it's not just ex-legends, though. It feels like they're trying to find the next big thing. Do you know, like Arsenal fans?
Yeah, yeah.
because they knew he was going to be good under Pep. It's like they're trying to find the next one that'll change football instead of just going, we're in the mire here. Let's hire someone who's out of it. Like, imagine if, I reckon, if you asked half United fans now, I could be way off the mark here. But I bet you they'd swap Amorim for David Moyes right now. And how got rid of someone like that? I feel like Ferguson.
And Mourinho.
Mourinho's head fell off a bit, though, man. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit
Mourinho. He'll love it. He'll love the challenge for the year.
Oh, I love him, but I don't know. I think he's. I don't know. He just seems even more cranky than usual these days, doesn't he?
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if someone like Unai Emery is in charge next year. Like someone who's established and is a good manager and can turn something around.
I don't think he'll go.
From Villa?
Villa
have got a bit of a problem. No, now that we can't really buy players.
I also don't think Emery's strong enough. Like he went into Arsenal under a similar situation, and it did not go well at all. I think they need someone who's literally just gonna hold the club down for a bit. Obviously not on the same level as Everton, but the way Dyche did with Everton, go in, see that this club is just broken, and just try and build it up from the start. I obviously don't mean hire Dyche for United, in case anyone's watching. But I just mean like...
there's a clip.
Like that type of someone that can just start again with them without ever having a future prospect of taking them forward until he's 70. Like that. It feels like they're looking for the next Sir Alex Ferguson when they should just be looking for someone to steady the ship, I reckon, because they're in turmoil.
Yeah. Well, I think it could happen. The international break's coming up again, which is another topic, but the game after that is Liverpool. He's either gone before it and given the manager a week or two to get ready for the game, or he's gone after that game. Got to.
They're probably waiting to play. But the new manager isn't going to want that game, is he?
Exactly, yeah. That is where you get like a legend in and throw him to the Lions in it and just go, they're going to love you anyway. You can get sounds here, and then we'll reassess when that's done.
Hug a ball boy when
we score.
Like,
yeah, that makes every time, right? Go on then. Unless you've got anything else to add, should we leave the Premier League there and crack on with our game of the week? So I will take the lead here. And our game this week is Max against Sean in football battleships. Now, I'm hoping this works. I think it came across a lot more convoluted than it should have. But basically, the rules are as follows. I've got a grid each for the lads with 12 questions on, but I've asked them to choose 5 squares on the grid that are going to be their battleships. So, for example, Max's aim is to answer the questions that would hit Sean's battleships and vice versa. If you get a question right, but it's not a hit, you don't get anything for it, I'm afraid, other than just showing off that you know your stuff about Fuzzy. If you get a question wrong, you can have a go again. So that square is not done. You can just keep going back to it if you need to. So it's basically 4 along, 3 down. I asked Sean as guest which list he would want, whether it was A or B, and he chose A. So the questions are as follows. I'll give you... Well, your answer basically is going to be a player. I'm going to tell you the amount of appearances they played for the team they played most for, if that makes sense. So I would say, for example, this player played 150 games for West Brom. And then I'm going to tell you where they moved to from there and the year. Okay. So this player played 120 games for West Brom, and then he moved to QPR in 2016. And then you have to tell me the player. That makes sense?
Yep.
Right, so let's go for... Go on, we'll let guess go first again. So what square would you like of Max's?
I will go for D2.
D2, okay. This player played 196 times for Liverpool and then moved to Portsmouth in 2003.
See... It's Liverpool, so I'm happy Max hasn't got it because he'd be sinking me ships right now, wouldn't he? Oh, no, I don't know. I can't think of any. Glenn Johnson.
Short pass.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, moving on to you, Max.
I'll go A2.
Okay, this player played 387 games for Man United before moving to Newcastle in 2004.
Nicky Butt?
Correct.
Nice.
Oh. And more importantly, that is a hit. So that's yes. One of his battleships sunk. Four to go for you, Max. Right, Sean, it's your turn.
I will go for... I feel like he'd pick one of his boats. I'll go for
A2. A2. Okay, this player played 202 times for Newcastle before moving to Forest in 2023.
It's got to... 2023, it's got to be... I don't know, because Max can't answer this, can I, if I think out loud?
No, you can't think out loud, yeah.
So Anderson must have been 2024. So Newcastle... I didn't know... How many appearances? 202?
Yeah.
It's got to be Chris Wood. Has he played that many for Newcastle?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Oh, fuck.
Go on, Max.
I'm going to say... A series grouped any together. B2.
B2. Okay. This one's a bit tricky, I'll be honest. 65 games for City before going to Celtic in 2008.
65 games for City?
Yeah.
Okay. That's around the time.
To Celtic.
Around the time they took the new owners came in, maybe? Maybe after the Thailand owners or before. I'm going to say... Giovanni went to Hull after City. Or could it... I'm trying to think of, like, Alano. Who else was in that, like, group of players? Don't know. Steven Ireland even played more games than that, didn't he? Let's go Giovanni.
Incorrect.
Okay.
I will go for
C2. Okay. This player played 202 games for Spurs before moving to QPR in 2013.
I've honestly got no idea. David Bentley.
Incorrect.
I didn't think it was going to be right.
Max.
Oh, I think I've got it.
B1.
B1, okay. 192 games for West Ham before moving to Stoke in 2009.
That, era is so bad for me. Mostly... West Ham then going to Stoke, so he probably played in the FA Cup final in 2006 for West Ham before going to Stoke. Did Bobby Zamora go to Stoke? I don't know why I feel like he did. Bobby Zamora.
Incorrect. Right. From now on, I'm going to give you the position as well.
Okay.
Can I have a lot of funds or not?
You are?
Have me historic positions. You hold me past three picks.
No, if you go them again, I can tell you them.
Okay, can I just have a go with them now? Or is that one of your guesses?
That's one of your guesses. No,
yeah, you'd have to choose a square.
Okay. Well, I'm not even 100% sure. Oh, I've got to go with it. Was my last square was C2, wasn't it?
C2, yeah.
Is it Ashley Mercato?
It's not, I'm afraid, no.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Did not even give you the position. Did you not
leave?
You
didn't let me. I wouldn't give me.
Oh, would you? Oh,
I told you I was good at, yeah.
Oh my God.
Go on, Max, you're up.
D3.
Did you say D?
Yeah.
Okay, so this player was a striker who played 159 games for Blackburn before moving to Chelsea in 1999.
Oh, my God. I know it. I just can't. Chris Sutton?
Correct.
Fuck off.
However, it's not a hit. It's not a hit. Don't worry, Sean. Means nothing.
I just want to get a question by someone else, man, about.
Go on.
A3.
Okay. This player was a midfielder who played 133 games for Wigan before moving to Everton in 2013. Come on, Sean.
Oh, my God, help me. A Wigan midfielder? What is the matter with me?
He moved to Everton in 2013.
Yeah, I heard you. Thanks for saying it. Fundamentally. Oh, my good God.
I just feel sorry at this point. Yeah. It's like the reverse of paddleless.
I did so well on my last appearance as well, and this is a joke. I don't know, my head. I've got no, I haven't even got a name to pull out.
Centre mid.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of a centre mid. You said midfielder. No, unless he would not be.
Right, go on, Max.
C1.
Okay. Player who played 140 times for Blackburn before moving to Tottenham in 2008. And midfielder.
Was it too early? Or was he? David Bentley?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But also not a hit. Another pointless one. Right, go on, Sean. Come on. I really want you to get one right here.
Yes, we're from the way. I'll go B3.
B3. Okay. A midfielder who played 191 games for West Brom over two spells before moving to Fulham in 2008.
Fucking hell. So I'm assuming he went after his second stay at West Brom.
No, so he went after his first spell and then ended up back at West Brom.
Oh. Jesus fucking Christ. Why can't I get Chris Sutton?
You chose A, Sean, sorry.
West Brom, Fulham, the match of West Brom, Jesus Christ. Sessegnon.
No, unfortunately.
Jesus Christ.
D1.
Okay. A defender who played 135 games for Everton before moving to Rangers in 2001.
I'm sure Sean knows this one.
Sean will he'll definitely know this one.
Well, why don't I know the 2013 Wigan one, Sean?
I don't know, I'll be honest. I really don't know.
How many games did you say?
135.
And then
has played for another Premier League club as well.
2001. I feel like I want to say someone like Richard Dunn. Was he Everton?
Yes. Was he?
Okay. I feel like I want to say him, but I feel like you might not have said yet so easily if he was the right answer. Pistone.
No, unfortunately not. This player did play with Richard Dunn, though, in that Everton team, same time.
Nice, so I know it's not Richard Dunn. Nice. Can't wait to answer on that.
Right. Go on, Joe.
I will go A3, and if this is no battleship, I'm getting off.
A3, go on.
Is it James McCarthy?
It is.
Fuck off. Bleep that.
But it's not a hit, sorry.
Oh!
Tell you what, let's change it. Rather than doing five battleships, we'll do three. I'll cross two off. Let's speed this thing up.
B3. Oh, no, wait, I don't know. No, go on, P3.
You haven't done that. Okay. Midfielder, 282 games for Chelsea before moving to Liverpool in 2010.
Joe Cole.
Correct.
What? Not a hit. Why did I pick A? What is this? Did you just do A for absolutely fucking hard? Fucking West Brom then. What the fuck? And he gets fucking Joe Cole. Oh my God.
You've got some easy ones. You just got to pick the right squares.
Well, to be fair, I got James McCarthy. I should know that. He's one of my favourite fucking Everton players. Right, I'll go with A1.
A1, okay. Oh, it's Wigan again.
No, thank you.
I think he was a forward. Not 100%. I think he was a forward. He played 116 games for Wigan before moving to Fulham in 2012.
Again? Fulham and Wigan? What?
What I will say, Sean, this is like, if you think of Barclaysman, he's like top level, top tier Barclaysman.
But he's obviously not top tier because you think he was a forward.
No, like, as in, I'm not sure if he was like winger or centre forward. I'm not quite sure.
I will go for Charles Nzogbia.
So very, very similar era, but no. But you're on the right lines. You're nearly there. Go on, Max.
C3.
Yeah. 205 games for Birmingham before moving to Sunderland in 2011.
David Dunn.
Incorrect.
I will go Forest, Newcastle, Anderson. West Brom to Fulham and then back to West Brom. That's the one that's doing me head in 2008. And he's a midfielder.
Like, if you're thinking of West Brom players from the Premier League, he's in the top three of, like, synonymous with West Brom.
Oh, did he go to Fulham?
I think you're going to pick the wrong one here, but...
Well, because I'm assuming I wouldn't know if he went to Fulham. Well, let's go for it, because I can't think of anything else. Zoltán Gera?
Correct. And that is a hit.
Thank you.
1-1.
Are you going to tell me if any of I've picked that it is, or...?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Oh!
Which ones have I not done?
So what was that B3 hit, yeah?
Yeah.
So have I not done A3?
No.
That one then.
Okay, 157 game for United before moving to Leverkusen in 2015.
Oof. Who would have been the manager then? Because Rooney was still playing then. So I'm trying to think of people who played around Rooney. It wasn't Ibrahimovic. Did someone stupid like English go out and come back? This is so bad. Oh my God, I don't know. I do not know. That's so many games as well for somebody. That's like 3-4 seasons. I'm just going to pass. No, I should really say something. Danny Welbeck.
Absolutely not.
Shit.
Go ahead, Sean. So
I'll go A1, Wigan Fulham, and I'll go for Hugo Radiega.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Two hits.
Come on.
He needs one more, and actually, he still needs two.
I can't believe I'm going to lose this.
I think, Max, there's one before. I think you said, have I been on both? Sorry, have I been on the ones? I think you've been on one of them. Sorry.
You said one of them before. Betrayal? Or...
No, I'm not. No.
If I go back to the one, you're gonna give me an extra clue. Was it the West Ham to Stoke one? You didn't give me a position.
West Ham to Stoke. No, I didn't give you the position, no.
Yeah, go to that one then. B1. What's the position? Okay.
He's a winger.
And what year was it?
2009.
West Ham winger. He went to Stoke. Matty Everington?
Correct.
Oh, that's good. Yes. That's not the one, is it?
Nope. Come on, Sean. Bring it on.
If I go back to C2, Spurs QPR, can I have a position? Because you were going to give me one last time, but I said fucking that's what I got all.
He's a midfielder.
Oh, that's not what I want you to say. Okay.
This is very much.
Oh, Sandro.
Nah.
Oh, of course I had it.
This is very much that like dismal Harry Redknapp era QPR. Yeah. Bear that in mind.
I think I got the A3 one. That's the United one, right?
Yeah.
Are we both on two ships here?
No, he's on one.
I still got one.
Oh, what a loser.
Is A3 going to be one? I think did he go to Real Madrid before or after? But Javier Hernandez?
Sorry.
No, that's United players to Leverkusen.
Is that what you're going for?
That was my question.
No, sorry. That's who I guessed when he asked the question.
Oh. Is that the right answer?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
It's not a hit, though.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What a shame. If it helps, I'm still struggling. Newcastle to Forest is bothering me. 2023.
I wouldn't worry. Wouldn't worry about it, Sean.
Okay.
He's like helping him.
Spurs QPR. I feel like I've got all of them now. Clearly not. Let's go for a new square because why not? I don't even know what I've got here. D3.
D3. Okay. 189 games for City before moving to Roma in 2016. Sorry, striker.
Did he go to Roma? I'm going to assume that. Oh no, it could be one of a few, really. Max doesn't get to guess, so I'm flicking between 2016. So I'm going like Alvaro Negredo, possibly Stefan Jovetic. City to Roma. Who else could it be? No, I think I'm pretty sure Negredo went back to Spain. Stefan Jovetic, I think, went to Florentino. Did they get him from Florentino? Go on, I'll go Stefan Jovetic.
Nah, sorry. Right lines, though. Definitely right lines.
C2
is 223 games for West Brom before moving to Watford in 2018.
Ben Foster.
Correct, and that's a hit.
Wait. Oh no!
2-2.
Oh dear. City Roma 2016 striker.
But like think of the amount of games, 189. Like he played.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
All right, go on. He had a big Manchester Derby moment.
Can you give the big Manchester
in a big Manchester Derby, he made the headlines.
Well, see, now I'm thinking,
am I gonna get all these clues, by the way?
Yeah, go on, I'll just keep throwing them out.
Surely he didn't go to Roma, did he? I was thinking Balotelli as soon as you said that, but is that not too early as well? Go on,
I think the game in question is the same game.
Can you let him answer Balotelli, please?
I'm assuming you have you? Oh, God, Oh, Eden Jekyll.
Correct.
Please yes. Say yes. All that! All
right,
that.
What I'll do, yeah. Max, no, you have one more go. Max, have one more go. And then what I'll do, I'll throw one out. First one to get it wins.
Right.
Can we have transfer fees?
Oh, you're like messing.
No,
next,
can
all
we,
right, next
can we have
time.
The first and last name, please. did I do D1?
What did you say? D1?
Yeah, did I do that?
Yeah, that was Everton to Rangers.
Which one have I not done? C2?
You've done C2, that was Ben Foster. You haven't done D2.
Oh, right, okay.
You haven't done D2.
D2.
D2 is 130 games for Stoke before moving to Cardiff in 2014. Striker.
That is miserable.
Striker for Stoke, moved to Cardiff.
Southport have just conceded an equaliser in the last minute.
Ah.
Get him out.
Let's just check this.
Oh,
it's 3-2.
As in winning or losing?
Hang on.
Stoke to Cardiff. This is so bad. Stoke to Cardiff. What year again?
2014.
And he played a fair few. 2014, Stoke to Cardiff.
Oh no, it's still 3-2 to Southport, sorry. Thank you, Luke.
2-2 to Southport, did you say?
3-2.
Oh.
He said he's a forward.
Yeah. He absolutely loved when red and white stripes couldn't get enough of them.
Oh, I know.
So he played it over red and white stripes teams, you're trying to tell me.
Is that what you got from that, yeah?
That wasn't helpful at all. But it was obviously very helpful for Sean because he got it immediately.
Played in the 2006 World Cup against England.
Oh, I haven't got it.
Oh my god, now I'm trying to think of fucking players playing in England in 2006. Is he Colombian player? Did he play Colombia in 2006? Did he play for Stoke?
Caribbean. Go on, should we just go to the tiebreak?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I answer that one?
Go on.
Is it Cameron Jones?
It is Cameron Jones, yeah.
Just going to edit that out. Cameron Jones.
Right, here is the tiebreak. I'll give you increasing a number of clues. Okay.
First person to answer.
Yeah, first one, shout it out. Shout your name, okay, before you shout the answer. Okay. Right. So this player played 123 games for Southampton before moving to Fulham in 2006. He is a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Max. Jussi Jäskeläinen.
I can tell you, I'll give you a big clue. He's only 28.
Now?
Sean?
Is Anthony Amy?
It is Anthony Amy, yeah.
That's a good.
Let's very quickly now do the Super Six. Let's go. And I want one word answers, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. First up, we're going to go Sean. Brighton against Tottenham.
Brighton have been all over the place, haven't they? Yeah, I'll go Tottenham 2-0.
Max?
Tottenham 2-1.
Right, same again. We'll go Sean, Man United, Chelsea.
I'll go feel like I'm going to do it again. I'll go 2-0 Chelsea.
Max?
I wanted to go into a deep dive about this game, Sean.
Sorry. you two need to have better ball knowledge then.
3-1 Chelsea.
Right, Sean, it's Fulham against Brentford.
Brentford have actually been better than I thought they were going to be with all the players that are left. But Fulham always seems to be... I'll go 1-0.
Max?
I was thinking the same, a draw. Can I go the same as Sean?
Yeah.
Go 1-0 then.
Right, we'll flip the order. Max, you can go first on these three. Sunderland, Villa.
Villa haven't scored yet, have they?
Nah.
Mm-hmm. 0-0.
Sean?
I think Villa were one of the worst sides I've ever seen. Away at Everton. I think it was that bad. I don't think I'm being... overly harsh there. They were so, so bad.
Yeah, they were awful, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm going to go for Sunderland 3-1.
Right, Max, Bournemouth, Newcastle.
Bournemouth aren't they doing all right? And then another one where I thought they'd be worse, but they're actually all right. I'm going to go Newcastle 2-1.
Sean?
I will go for John Joe Shelby, please. I don't know, I quite like to look at that big German groch. I'll go 1-0 Newcastle.
And the last game, one of two big ones of the weekend, Arsenal City. Max?
Like you said before, I don't think City were made to look better than they were at the weekend. I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
I think the way the Premier League stinks at the minute, that's got 0-0 written all over it.
Yeah, it does, don't it?
Yeah.
Nice. Fair enough. Thank you.
2-0 written all over. Thank you.
Now, just before we end on one of Max's questions, I'll go over the leaderboard from the first couple of weeks.
It's going to be so
bad. In bottom, with an average of 2, is Max.
Yes.
Which is atrocious. Just above, with an average of 4, is Tosh. And then top of the league currently, for a one-off appearance with 13, is Griffin.
Jesus.
I know.
He's going to be first the entire year.
Well, next week, Max.
Yeah.
But he's coming on next week. He'll bring it down, won't he? Right.
Well,
thanks, lads.
When I win £1 million, you never see me again.
Imagine if I got every score right and didn't put it on Super 6. So I just get you going, he's going, oh, well done, you got 10 points. And I'm like, oh, great, yeah, thanks. London.
You're wanting the keeping up appearance of Super 6 of the year, Sean?
Still trying to think of time for fucking QPR from Spurs in 2002.
Oh, did I not tell you who that was?
No, he wasn't.
Jermaine Genius?
Yeah, again, wouldn't have got that either.
Fair enough. Right, go on, Max. Close us up with what I know you've got a few, but
it was one of them. You mean?
Just choose one of your questions. We'll end on.
Okay, one of the questions is the curse of the number 9 shirt at Chelsea real? Obviously, Leon Delap just got injured wearing the number 9. I don't think there's ever been a very successful number 9 at Chelsea. What about you? Well, in the last 20 years, anyway.
No, I'd love a list of them, to be fair. I don't know if you've
I can give you a list, yeah.
Go on.
So before Leon Delap, it was Aubameyang, 21 appearances, 3 goals. Then it was Lukaku, 59 appearances, 15 goals. Tammy Abraham, 82 appearances, 30 goals. Higuain, 18, 5 goals. Morata, 72 appearances, 24 goals. Then you had Radamel Falcao, 12 appearances, 1 goal. Torres, 46 goals and 172. Franco Di Santo, 0 goals and 16 appearances. Steve Sidwell, not even a forward, 25 appearances, 1 goal. Khaled Boularouz, fullback, 23 appearances, 0 goals. And before him, you had Hernan Crespo, 73 appearances, 25 goals. And then there's more before that, I'm assuming, yeah. But that's like the last 20 years.
Yeah. It's, what strikes me by that list is it not a case of the number 9? Is it more their choice of transfers?
Yeah. More the fuck are you giving him the number 9?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously when you've got a full-back and a centre-mid playing in number 9, but even like they love like a seasonal transfer, don't they? Just like a Torres, and you got Falcao into Morata, into whoever else was after that, like Higuain on it. Whoever's playing well in Europe in that moment will throw him in the Premier League, and it never worked for anything, did it?
No, definitely not. I mean, even Lukaku's at... Oh, this dog's barking. Sorry.
Sorry, don't worry.
Even Lukaku, like, I don't think he's been successful in many places. Maybe Everton was really... Maybe it was the last time he was actually brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. And even you've had some other players that didn't wear the number 9. I think Shevchenko was there, wasn't he? He was not very good for, like, a short spell. Who else? Like, Claudio Pizarro. Didn't Alex Pato play there for a little bit?
Yeah.
I think it's a case of the centre forwards more than anything. Recently, Nicholas Jackson in Kunku. I think maybe you can just say Drogba's been worn and
Elche.
Diego Costa and Elche, yeah. That's 25 years and you've had 3 good forwards.
When you were saying that list, then I was thinking of the other ones that came up because I also thought Shevchenko was number 9. I was waiting for him to come up. The problem is the striker situation. It's what's going to happen with United, the way that they keep strikers, and it's an impossible to play like a role for a club like that with the pressure and all that type of stuff. I think that's all it is, because you can count on one hand how many good strikers they've had in that time. So it's not. I don't think it's a case of a number. I think it's a case of signing people who aren't ready to play that position.
Yeah, and then as you say, maybe not strong enough mentally as well, innit? Like, I mean, was Lukaku number 9 when he came back? He wasn't number 9 when he left, was he, when he came to us?
Yeah, he was number 9 when he came back.
Yeah, again, like, his head was never in it, was it? It's like...
No.
I think as well, when you talk about cases, imagine getting a shirt, so you're a big-name striker, like Higuain, for example, coming into England where you never played before. You get the number 9, which is probably you're happy with, and then you get told, just so you know, every player that's ever wore that for the last 15 years... He's been absolutely crap.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that information? Do you know what I mean? All you're going to do is go, great.
That defo plays into it, especially with the likes of Lukaku, because Lukaku, that second spell at Chelsea was when he got massive, wasn't it? When he went really daft big. So that must be him thinking, right, everyone's failed here. I've got to do something to put myself apart from the other strikers. I wonder if that happens with all of them, apart from Morata, who is the biggest myth in football, how he's ever got a number 9. But... Yeah, it's got to be the pressure of the position. Like I said, with United, they're going to have a run of them now with Sesko and Hoyland and Xerxes and all the ones that have gone through there. It's when you're playing a lone striker, which most of these clubs are now. It's such a hard job, and you need to be like season prem pro to do it at like this big level. That's why the likes of Isak and that has gone for this amount of money, because someone who can play in the prem and deal with the physicality of the prem, they're worth a lot of money, aren't they? And unless you're willing to pay the money for someone who's been in the Prem at that level, and it's always going to be a bit of a risk, isn't it?
Do you remember who's first, like Abramovich's first signing was, as like a first number 9? Could be a case of Abramovich, really. You can have all the success, but you're not going to have a very good number 9. Do you remember?
Was it the Beachhead? Sorry, I'm not
listening. Yeah. It was Mutu, yeah. Mutu. And Matthias Kesman was the other one they bought.
Ah, yeah, I remember Kesman.
Yeah. That was when Football Manager was like, it was the best, because it was almost like they were playing Football Manager, just buying everyone.
Yeah.
And then you just go Chelsea and just spend all
they're doing
that money.
They're doing that now again, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just for 100 times the price. But yeah, it's all about going back to United strikers, though, Sean. I think it's very similar with United's keeper, innit? All anyone keeps talking about them in is they go, it's the heaviest shirt in football. And you're like, well, shut up about it then. And just let them play. Because, they've currently got 3 keepers there, none of which are like first team regulars, two of which I've never even heard of, really. Yeah. And the other one's Tom Eaton. And it's like, just shut up about it and let them play. Because if you keep going on about it,
the media goes on about it because it exacerbates it, because it then makes it become a thing.
Bigger stories, then, isn't it? Yeah.
They love it. They love it. That's, they build it up so the striker or the keeper coming in goes, oh, fuck, I need to do something here. And then, you know, it's gone 15 years with everyone having the exact same reaction, and it's just scaled up from there. They the media love it. Yeah. They're doing it.
Yep.
Right.
It's fucking grumpy this episode, mate.
You've had a long day in work, John.
I'm shit. John Joe Shelby is shit.
Right, we'll leave it there then before Sean's not shouting anymore. Right, thank you for listening. Hopefully this has been fun. It's been fun being a part of it. Hopefully it's been fun to listen to. I'm not sure how it's going to edit, though. That's the only worry. But I'm sure it'll come out just as well. So, yeah, thank you, Sean, for coming on. Hopefully back on again if you're up for it.
Yeah, it depends on how the edit goes. I might be cancelled, really.
Yeah, thanks again, Max, as well. Yeah, until then, we will see you next week.